MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Vanha Olufied, he's partner and fintech and digital assets lead at Forvis Mazars South Africa. Vanha, appreciate the early morning time. Earlier this week, I think it was Monday, SARS released the draft crypto asset reporting framework. First question, what is the crypto asset reporting framework that they've released in draft form? What are they looking to do and achieve?
Hi, Simon. Morning. Nice chatting to you again. So effectively, what they're trying to achieve with this is to basically SARS to cast their tax net wider. Mm-hmm. So currently, there's a lot of information that these virtual asset service providers or cryptocurrency exchanges are effectively sitting on. And there's not really real-time engagement with SARS in terms of providing that relevant data to SARS for them to utilize to cast their tax net a little bit wider. So effectively, what this crypto asset reporting framework will effectively do is to align with international standards and effectively result in these crypto asset service providers to providing SARS information on a more granular level, but also in relation to specific information to taxpayers. So it won't be linking up ID numbers or individuals' names. It will actually be linking up taxpayers' information and tax numbers. So effectively, you would have SARS being able to do more diligent audits at the end of the day.
Oh, do we already see this? And I'm thinking my stockbroker, perhaps. I mean, my bank account. I mean, SARS has already got a lot of access at taxpayer number level in a bunch of financial industries.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think that's towards what we're moving to from a cryptocurrency perspective. A lot of individuals in South Africa are still not declaring their taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's evident based on the fact that I think there's about 500,000 taxpayers declaring their taxes based on Chainalysis analytics that show that about 6 million individuals in South Africa actually own cryptocurrency. So, I mean, there is a lot of under-declaration taking place, and this is not unique to South Africa. It's happening all across the world. We see this particularly in France as well. But at the end of the day, what SARS is trying to do is just make sure that it doesn't happen going forward. So effectively, what will happen, as you mentioned, it will be similar situations to the banks where your IT3B or IT3C, depending on whether you've got capital gains, gains from trading or staking rewards, being actually pulling through on your tax return. But of course, we are still a couple of years away from that, in my view.
This is open for public comment, I think, until early October. But this, I mean, my sense is this shouldn't be controversial. I mean, no one's going to stand up and say, no, I don't want to pay tax. I mean, we all want to reduce tax, but we need to pay it.
Yeah, look, I think at the end of the day, blockchain-based digital assets was designed to operate outside of the constraints of the traditional financial services sector. And there's a lot of individuals that believe it should also fall outside of the tax laws and the various regulations. So unfortunately, there's this mindset of a lot of individuals. And of course, it has gotten significantly better over the last, call it eight to 10 years in terms of people coming to the realization it's just another asset class and it needs to be treated in terms of the income tax that you actually need to pay your taxes on those relevant gains.
That's okay. Point. I mean, crypto really is no longer a fringe asset class. I mean, 6 million South Africans holding it. This has come of its own, and we've seen the regulation increasing over time. This is only a good thing for the crypto ecosystem.
100% correct. I mean, you see the likes of large financial institutions actually adopting the asset class. I think Bitcoin sitting under, I think if I'm not mistaken, the top eight assets worldwide by market cap, just over $2 trillion. So it's no longer an asset class that's only used by a couple of technology enthusiasts. It's become a mainstream asset class. And I think people need to realize that as well from a tax standpoint.
We're not sure of timelines. As we said, this is draft. It's open for public comment. Is our industry locally ready for this? I mean, if assuming it passes and whatever that timeline is, and there might be a period of sort of phase in, is our industry ready?
So, of course, there's a lot of work that needs to be done by the virtual asset service providers or the crypto asset service providers, as we refer to them from a regulatory standpoint. So the bulk of the work needs to be done on their side. I mean, they've done fairly well in terms of the anti-money laundering and know your client procedures that they need to perform in terms of the Financial Action Task Force. So there has been a lot of steps forward by these crypto asset service providers in South Africa in terms of having the reporting ability. So definitely it's something that they would be able to handle. And I think in terms of timelines, I do anticipate that SARS will try and get this over the line rather quicker than waiting on it, because of the fact that they're losing out on a possible revenue stream there. And I mean, the same applies if you think about elements like the South African Reserve Bank and exchange control regulations with the recent court case of the South African Reserve Bank versus Standard Bank.
Yeah.
I mean, even from that perspective, there's dire changes to regulations that needs to be made, and we can't have a situation where lawmakers are currently sitting on their hands and not addressing the elephant in the room in relation to asset class, because the asset class is really not going anywhere, and I think that's been proven over recent years.
100%, it absolutely is. And you mentioned the financial action task force, the folks who put us on the grey list. They've got a plenary meeting, I think it's towards the end of next month, where maybe we get off the grey list. Does this link to this, or is it just coincidence that it's coming out now? Because there was a list of some 20-odd tick boxes we had to comply with, and some of those were legislative.
Yeah, so what SARS is rolling out is definitely not specifically related to the grey listing as well. It's basically just to add on. So, I mean, most crypto asset service providers are adhering to the necessary requirements of the travel rule and all of that things. But this is just for SARS saying, well, okay, if the crypto asset service providers are able to report in a real-time basis on a daily basis to the various authorities, then surely they could be doing that from a tax plan point as well, and we can get our cut of the pie.
The key point, and you know, this is, and you mentioned, I mean, we're basically, this is global standards. Of course, this is a new industry, so they kind of been, you know, we can't look to other global markets. In some ways, we're trendsetters, and in the short version is we are there with those global standards. It might be a new asset class, but we're not being left behind as a country and as financial services industry.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that this is not an asset class tied to a specific jurisdiction. This is the international asset now. So the global assets require global regulations as well. And that means that all of the countries needs to come to the party in terms of how they regulate the asset class as well, because otherwise you get these instances of regulatory arbitrage, what you want to try and avoid, because it creates loopholes in the systems effectively. But I think in terms of the regulating the industry, I mean, there was also a position also released now by the JSE looking to rather providing guidance on how a listed cryptocurrency spot ETF would look in terms of how the custody would look and the various requirements being done. So it's always a step forward, but I do believe South Africa can move a little bit faster if you look at the various other regulations being issued on a global basis as well. I mean, things like the Genius Act, the stablecoin ordinance in Hong Kong, MiCA. So these lawmakers abroad have put in significant efforts to try to regulate the industry. And if you look at it from a US perspective, they're reaping the benefit of that as well, forcing stablecoin issuers to buy those treasury bonds from the United States and effectively strengthening the US dollar. So, I mean, to that extent, that is very innovative. And I hope and I wish that we see that going forward from South African standpoint as well, that they regulate the industry in such a way to protect the stakeholders, but also not just only stifle the innovation, but not stifle the innovation, but also innovate from their side as well.
Yeah, but, so doing good, but perhaps a little bit more, as you say. There are, I mean, the Genius Act as one of them, and of course part of that is it gets folks to buy their long and short dated bonds. We'll leave it there. Vahan Olafiat, partner and fintech and digital asset lead for Vivus Mazars South Africa. Appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.